We are in the book of James, or the letter of James, and we are in James chapter 1, and so I invite you to turn there. And one of the things that I believe God focuses on, or is focusing on, in this letter is faith. And we've talked about faith through the trials, and how faith is so crucial to how we view the challenges that we face in life. If we remember, James 1, verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking in nothing." Verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Now, the context, remember, is James is writing to Jews who have been scattered abroad as a result of persecution. So it's not a friendly time for believers, Jewish Christians. It's not a friendly time for them. It is a difficult time. And so they are facing challenges and trials probably on a daily basis. With that in mind, James' instruction and admonition here is very, very key and important. But one thing that struck me this week as I was looking at this passage is the end of verse 4 and the beginning of verse 5. I had to really spend some time chewing on this, because look at the end of verse 4. It says that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, lacking in nothing. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? You're not lacking. You're lacking in nothing. There's nothing that I'm saying, speaking in circles. I won't even try it. But look at the beginning of verse 5. "If any of you lack wisdom." Now, does this make sense? Because didn't we just say that, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing"? Okay. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." And so, here we have this lacking in nothing or wanting nothing, but then the immediate statement following is, "But if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." So I had to really try to understand, what is God saying here? How can we understand this? Because very clearly, God makes a provision, or he shows here, that he understands that there's going to be times when people lack wisdom. When people are in need of the skill to apply understanding and knowledge to life. But we also know that, we also see in this passage, in verse 4, that a person's life can be in such a way that they are lacking nothing. They have the wisdom that they need from God. Now, you may be thoroughly confused, and it took me a while to figure this out, if I did the best that I could. But let me just share with you some thoughts from this passage, and we'll seek to understand that question and this whole concept of asking of God wisdom. I don't know about you, but I apply this practice almost daily in my life. And I've been really challenged as I've studied this, that that I really believe at the very core of all of this is the health of my faith. Because if I truly am a man of faith, in other words, I am trusting in God, I am putting what I believe into action. In other words, faith really is an action word. Okay? You can just say I'm a man of faith, but when the rubber meets the road, you don't carry out what you believe. Are you really a man of faith? No, you're not. You can say nice things, but really it's just surface deep. So I'm looking at this passage, and I'm examining faith. I'm looking at my faith. And I'm looking at how, yes, I want to be a man of faith, but you know what? There are times when that slips, when my focus gets off, when I'm realizing that I'm not where I need to be. Oh God, give me the wisdom to get back, to handle this situation, because my eyes have gotten off of you. Let me say this statement, which I do believe it is true. Let me explain it. Don't jump to conclusions too quickly. Life is made up of one trial after another. That's very, very pessimistic, isn't it? But let me explain. If life is made up of one trial after another, we are consistently confronted with the need to have a faith that is alive and working. Why would our life be one trial after another? Well, it's because we are living in a place foreign to the ways of God. And if it is a life that is foreign to the ways of God, then as we walk as aliens or strangers through this world, it's not where we belong. We belong with Christ, but we have been placed here as His witnesses. So we're going to face the barrage of this world, the challenges that come, the trials, the difficulties, the temptations, all of those things are going to be coming. And life is just full of it, one after another. It is a dangerous time when we think that we've made it past our trials and we're in the clear. Because immediately what comes? It's the pride thing, right? I'm okay. Got it all together. Boom. Temptation, sin, you're right back into it. And so it's an amazing, amazing thing when you think of life as this way. With that concept in mind, let's look at the text again. Verse 2, my brethren, count all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Okay? So in other words, these various temptations and trials, we are to count it all joy. They're a part of life. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And this is a continual work in each of our lives. As our faith is being challenged by the world, God uses that. That is a formula, and that challenge is the catalyst to strengthen our faith. It's almost as if we are under constant surgery. And God is at work in our lives. And the disease is the sin of this world and the challenges of this world, and He is consistently working in us to better us, to make us healthy, to make us strong. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Remember that patience is remaining under endurance, steadfastness. In other words, we are living through this life. We are to be patient, enduring, knowing that this world is full of challenges, but there is an end in sight. Okay? We should not be such people that we look for the breaks. We look for the open water, because we need to realize that it's through the trials that God is working in us. Okay? And we should be thankful for those times, for when God makes us wait. You know, think about the strength of your faith as you've waited, and then God comes through in the final hours. Your view of God, you're strengthened and encouraged, and so are others by your testimony. So now, If patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, God has set this up in such a way that we as his children lack nothing. We really have at our disposal everything of God. His incredible wisdom is at our disposal. His Spirit lives within us all the time. His Spirit is there. So where's the disconnect? The disconnect is on our end. The disconnect is where our perspectives, where our perspective lies. To illustrate, go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 14. This is a very familiar story, very familiar to our children as well, I'm sure. This is the story of Peter walking on the water. Now I want you to take note here of how this might illustrate what we're learning. Just pick it up, the story, Matthew 14, verse 25. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. So in other words, the disciples were all in the boat, out in the sea. Jesus now comes unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Okay, boom, immediately, trial, a challenge, there's something coming. We don't know what it is. They say they were troubled, saying it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. So there's this challenge. There's something coming. We don't know what it is. Immediately here, we can make the judgment that their perspective is off. They have lost their view of God and Jesus Christ and knowing that they truly can trust in him. Now, let's not be so hard on them, because we do this all the time. All right, so, verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, notice Jesus doesn't come and try to scare them. He doesn't come and say, boo! No, he comes and he says, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Remember, the disciples have everything there that they need. God is there. He's comforting them. Verse 28, and Peter answered, now here's our buddy Peter, and he answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, why in the world would he make such a statement? It's because he believed that he had everything he needed to be able to do that. Faith in God. Jesus was right there. Verse 29, and he said, come. Jesus said, come. All right, so here's he says, come. All right, so there's the call. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So he walked on the water. This man, he was not God. Peter is not God. He's a normal man like you and me. But here he is walking on water. All right, so that's great. Good job. Way to go. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was what? He was afraid. Now notice something here. Jesus said, come. And he goes, he steps out of the boat, and he is going to Jesus. When he looks at the wind and the waves, he becomes afraid. This is my problem sometimes. I know what God's calling me to do, or what he wants me to do, or how he wants me to operate. Okay? I mean, he's got everything there for me I need. But man, you know what? I look at, what will this person say? How are they going to handle my counsel? What am I going to say when I get up in the pulpit and this difficult passage comes up? Is my studying adequate to handle it? Okay, see, God has me here. He wants me to minister, but here I'm looking over here at the wind. And so Peter here, he says he sees the wind, he's afraid. Or Matthew writing, Peter sees the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cries out, saying, Lord, save me. Lord, I'm lacking the wisdom to continue down this road. I'm lacking the wisdom to keep walking on the water to you. Lord, I'm crying out to you. And so he cries out, and what happens? Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. He's been there the whole time. But at this point, he stretches forth his hand. Peter needs that. And he catches him, and he says unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And when they were come into the ship. Now, as you read this text, it almost makes it appear as if once Jesus picked Peter up out of the water, they both walked in the water to the ship. And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. I don't see Jesus picking up Peter by the hand and saying, okay, now swim the rest of the way. Although he could have done that, I'm making an assumption, I know, and I will say that. But I believe here the text could say very easily bring about the idea that Jesus picks him up and they walk together back to the ship. As we turn back to James, we keep in mind this illustration that we've seen, and we look at verse 5 and we say, you know what, if any man lacks wisdom, okay, I understand, and I believe you understand, that there are times when we just, our perspective is off. And I praise God that he makes provision for that. I praise God that he has a hand there ready to pick us up, and he doesn't just let us sink. You're done. He makes provision for these times. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, and I did want to make mention, wisdom, the way I like to define wisdom is skill in applying knowledge. So it's more than just having an understanding or knowledge of something, it's skill to be able to apply it. In the Greek, this word is, and pay attention to this, this word is sophia. I wanted to say that for one little girl here. Sophia is the Greek word for wisdom. And what is fascinating is James himself helps us understand wisdom. If you go to chapter 3 and look here at look at verse 13. James writes and he says, "Who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." So in other words, there's an earthly wisdom. Then he goes on and he says in verse 16, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." Verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above, from God, is first pure, then peaceable." Think about this. This is the wisdom of God here. It's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we have this description of wisdom. And we have it, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated, it's full of mercy and good fruits. Now taking all of that, we go back to chapter 1 and verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." You see that there, God makes a provision here, and he says, you know what, if you find that you are lacking in wisdom, ask me for it. What is he saying? He's saying, yes, you are the one that has the problem. You're the one that your eyes have gotten off of me. But you know what? I'm here. I want you to ask me. What does it show when you're asking for wisdom? It shows that you're going back to God. It shows that, you know what? I am in desperate need, and I know God is great, and he can meet that need. My faith It's got to be in God. Wisdom, God. I need wisdom. So if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally or generously. Okay? I mean, listen, God is not up there as some, okay, you do this, do, and here, I'll give you just a little bit of wisdom to get you this far. Okay. No. It's all there. Have it. God says, have it. But in order to see it and apply it, we've got to be men and women of faith. Because if we're not men and women of faith, God's there with all of this wisdom, but we're doubting whether it's enough. So he says, he giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. Okay. You know, what happens when you make a mistake and you do something wrong at your work? You go into the boss and they chide you, right? They say, you shouldn't have done that. Why did you do that? And if they're unloving and not caring, they will reproach you. They will revile you, use words to abuse you, to make you put you down and make you feel bad about what you did. You know what? God's not like that. This word abradeth not means he doesn't reproach you, use abusive words against you, revile you. He just will give it to you. End of verse 5, it shall be given him. It's future tense, it shall be yours. It is a sure thing. But, verse 6, here is the clincher. And you knew that was coming, right? But, let him ask in what? Faith. Here comes our word, this concept, this truth. Faith. Let him ask in faith. And again, that brings to mind the question, well, why? Why is that so important? But let him ask in faith, he describes why. Nothing wavering, in other words, not doubting, and that idea of wavering is really to be divided against oneself. Okay? So in other words, when you doubt, you have these different ideas. You're divided inside of what am I supposed to do? That's doubt. That's doubting. And so we're supposed to ask in faith, not doubting. Here's the description. For he that doubts or wavereth is like a wave of the sea. And I think we all understand this. Wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now, some of you might have been out in the ocean when there's been a storm. I have not, and I do not wish to be ever out in the ocean in a storm. But you see it on the TV, you see it on the news, you saw it with all of this all of the storms and tsunamis and everything else going on. You see the rough seas, you see the ocean, and you see the waves. They're just everywhere. They're all over the place. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. In other words, these waves of water are just tossed, agitated all over the place. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Well, where's that statement coming from? He's just describing the state of mind that doubting person is in. He's not expecting anything from God. He can't. He's not ready to receive it. His mind, he's all over the place. And he can't expect to receive this from God. And verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, this idea of double-minded, having two minds or two souls, you're two-faced. You're trying to go in two different directions. You know you got to please God and trust Him in this situation. But I want to help out. I want to help you out, God. I want to go ahead and work on this detail. You know, God's call upon us is true faith. You know, there's nothing lacking in true faith. Nothing. As patience works on us, our faith is strengthened and established. God's wisdom is there. If you find you are lacking in wisdom, what it means is that you are trying to crawl out from under the trial, the perfecting work of God, and you are seeking to do things on your own. You have lost sight of your faith. And I'm not talking about salvation here or anything like that. We're talking about believers who are seeking to live for God, okay? Just to make that clear. But sometimes our eyes just get off of God and off of trusting in Him. That happens. We lose that sight. God makes provision for this by exhorting us to ask of Him without doubting, and He will give it. But there's a stipulation. We need to ask in faith. Why? It is only with the eyes of faith that we can discern the wisdom of God. Did you get that? It is only with the eyes of faith that we can discern the wisdom of God. Think about looking at the wisdom of God from a purely worldly standpoint. It makes no sense. It's ludicrous. It takes eyes of faith so we can discern the wisdom of God. All the wisdom of God is available to us, for we are His children. His Spirit lives within us. He has called us to remain here on this earth as His witnesses. If we doubt, we become two-sighted. We can't rightly discern what to do, and this leaves us unstable. You know, realize that God desires you and me to be one track, one-sided on Him. He's made full provision for that. In fact, He has set it up in such a way that even as this world barrages us with challenges and trials, the faith, our eyes on Him, we're going to be growing and perfected and strengthened. But you know what? When you come to times where you realize you're doubting, you realize you're off, you realize that your faith is weak, God's made provision for that. He's made provision for you and for you and for me. In those situations, He says, ask me, believing, having faith, not doubting. Don't doubt me. And He will give it. And I want you to remember here that we are talking about wisdom that comes from God. And the wisdom that comes from God is going to be His best for you. It's going to be way beyond what you might think. It might not fit with your plans that you have crafted, but the wisdom of God is perfect. It's pure. It's peaceable. It's easy to be entreated. And so, the challenge for us: view times when you are lacking in wisdom as God's gentle reminder that you need to reestablish your trust in Him. It's God's gentle reminder. Reestablish your trust in Me. Know God's wisdom is always available. He is a generous and a gentle giver. God, I thank You for this passage, and thank You for the truth. I thank You that we can come to You, and that You are generous and You're gentle. God, You are really challenging me as I think about this concept of faith and realizing, Lord, how often I seek wisdom from You, and realizing, Lord, that I'm so glad that I've been taught that and that's a practice in my life, and I just pray that I would grow in my faith and trust in You. And these dear people, Lord, they face things that I do not even have any idea what it all entails. Lord, they face challenges and trials, and I pray that You would strengthen them, that they would be one-sighted on You, not doubting. Oh, strengthen Your church, God, and use us as You see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.